Movies and Booze. I'm Moncrief.
With Marks and Spencer.
On News Talk.
We are joined in the studio by Deirdre Malumby, Mick O'Connell and Serena Bellissimo. Good afternoon to you all.
Hello.
Lovely to see you. The two wines today, Mick, are from Verona, is that correct?
Just around Verona. So one is from the Valpolicella region and one is from the Suave region. So kind of the northern... If there was a lovely donut M50 style thing around Verona,
you've killed all the romance of that.
Exactly, yeah. It would be kind of Blanchardstown through to Dublin 13.
Yeah.
Very
yes,
really?
Or the wine belt as they call it around here. Yes, in Ireland. So the two movies today now, like John McGahern. Novels are slow as it is. I would imagine a film of that they may face the rising sun is. Not exactly filled with car chases.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly so much about the plot as about like the characters and the setting and just the ambience, I suppose. But kind of plot wise, if you can give it a plot, we're following this couple named Joe and Kate who have left their home in London to live in County Leitrim. And we're just kind of following their day to day life, a year in the life, if you will, in rural Ireland as they, you know, live this life of tranquility, of small comforts. And they're surrounded by all of these very vivid personalities who are kind of predominantly elderly male characters, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's actually quite a like sweet little movie. And I did find myself getting very lost in it. And actually just recently it won Best Irish Film at the IFTAs, which is very impressive.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
And challengers, that's just like riding with tennis.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
That's on the poster.
That's the elevator pitch. and it's kind of like a menage a trois type scenario,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of, I suppose.
Why am I turning my nose up at that? I don't know why.
I suppose I didn't find it a very sexy movie, but it kind of reminded me of something that the teens
tennis
would find
ain't your
very
game
sexy.
Then, eh?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But Zendaya is the star of it, and, you know, she's huge at the moment, you know, star of Dune and everything. She plays Tashi, whose husband is going through a losing streak, so she decides to enter him into this challenger event. However, Patrick, who is a character that is both her ex and his ex partner slash ex best friend, is also competing. So it kind of dredges up, you know, past relationships and past conflicts and blah, blah, blah.
And then they all move to County Leitrim. right. You're excited about Kylie, Serena?
I'm so excited about Kylie.
Topping the bill at EP, apparently. Or one of the bill toppers at EP.
Yeah, there's Calvin Harris and...
some other bloke no one's heard of.
He's
like a hosier with a, you know...
I'm so excited by Kylie.
Kylie, but it wasn't a great lineup. I thought it wasn't very exciting. It felt kind of like, I've seen that before.
I don't know. I stopped at Kylie.
Okay, there you go. Yeah,
and I don't know why I'm that excited, Sean, because it's sold. I don't have tickets. But I'm excited that she's coming here, and she's excited.
But she's
to
been
be
here before, though, hasn't she?
She has. It? She was here a few. I think it was just before COVID. She played her Golden album. I was at that. Actually, I've been at most of her concerts. That wasn't a great one because it was her country phase. But then that second half of that concert was amazing. But with this tour, her music's back on track. And
I didn't even know Kylie had a country phase.
Oh, yeah, Golden. She did one CD. I'm glad she's forgotten about that. And we move forward. We try not to talk about that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
We will speak of it no more. right, so there's going to be another Priscilla. Actually, I shouldn't even say Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, because you're going to pronounce it properly, given...
Oh, now there's pressure. Is it just the accent?
Yeah, just the accent. That's all. Yeah. Because it has to, because you want, you know, people want to say Priscilla.
Can you try it? Yeah. It's Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. It's been 30 years. I can't believe it's been 30 years since the original came out. And the director of the film, Stephen Elliott, was saying recently that he has spoken to the leads, Terrence Stamp, Guy Pearce and Hugo Weaving, and they're all back on board. He wants to do it sooner rather than later because, you know, Terrence Stamp is 85.
Everyone dies, yeah.
And he basically wants to do it before, you know, before he's not with us anymore. But the great thing is he's said before he doesn't want to do the same. So he's not just bringing them back to do the same. But do you remember one of the characters had a 7-year-old boy? So they're going to bring the 7-year-old boy into it. And it's going to be his generation as well. There's a play apparently on the West End called Priscilla the Party Show. And I don't know if it's a play. I still don't understand what it is, but it's a big success apparently in the West End. And what they've noticed is because they were asked, you know, is it going to be all that 70s disco? Because it did have a great soundtrack. And they were just like, okay, we're going to have some of it, but We also need to bring it into the now. And when they're at this, the Priscilla party, Lady Gaga, of course, goes off. So could you imagine if Lady Gaga or Kylie made an appearance in this? That'd be amazing. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm very excited.
But isn't there a bit of like, why do people keep doing this? You know what I mean? Like just regurgitating this stuff.
I think so. Look, and I'm usually a fan of that. Not a fan of that either, where they go, you know, we've done it, leave it in the past. But, you know, maybe now times have, like, we have moved on since then. I think there could be a great story to tell. I really do hope they're not doing same old, same old. And I'm willing to give it a go. And if anything, it's going to have a banging soundtrack.
Yeah, that's true. And exciting news about the casting for Heartstopper, a TV show of which I know absolutely nothing. In fact, it's the first time I've heard of it.
Have you not watched it?
Oh, no. It's lovely. It's so charming. And the young people in it are just absolute sweethearts. I think it's a lovely show. Yeah. I was watching it being like, this is probably for people younger than me, but I'm still very much enjoying this. It's pure love.
It's a great teen drama where the two leads are two lads who are in love. And it's just pure. It's gorgeous. There's a season 3 happening. Bridgerton is returning on May 9. The reason why I mentioned Bridgerton and Heartstopper in the same sentence is because Lord Anthony Bridgerton, Jonathan Bailey himself, is joining the cast of Heartstopper. I don't think he's going to be in it a lot. But that sort actually doesn't make up for the fact that Olivia Colman isn't coming back. Olivia Colman is only not coming back. She plays, what's the character's mother? The mother of one of the leads. But she can't come back because of conflicting scheduling issues.
Right, okay. So,
but we've got Anthony Bridgerton. Well, I should call him
Anthony John. Bridgerton.
Could you imagine? A Bridgerton Heartstopper crossover. But I think the closest we'll get is having Jonathan Bailey in it. So very exciting. That's coming back on in October. And do you know what? It is one of those shows that you will start. And I was just like, I'll watch one. And before I knew it, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I went, I've just binged the whole season. It's such a beautiful love story.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Good sell. Dave in Cavan says, any spare tickets to EP? I don't know if they think they've even started selling tickets yet, Dave in Cavan. So we don't have any spare tickets.
They're sold out.
Have they?
Don't they usually sell them?
Before people know what's in it.
It's like, oh my God, Brain Dead. What's the one in, the one in London?
Yeah. They go on sale the Monday after.
I can't believe. It's like Glastonbury. They go on sale and people don't care because it's such a great festival.
Yeah, but I say spare tickets, like, you know, I have 17.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was going to use them as coasters in my house. Yes, why do Australians call redheads bluey?
I don't know. Why do we Australians do a lot of things? I don't know.
Yeah. Somebody says, because that came up during our bluey conversation earlier, and somebody texted in to say that it's an affectionate term for a redhead.
It is.
Bluey.
And I do love bluey. I love that conversation you were having about bluey.
Yeah. Someone says, I imagine it's because most true redheads are quite pale, revealing the blue veins underneath. Would my imagination be correct? Ooh.
That's not very nice.
Yeah.
But that would be very Australian.
That's kind of gross.
That probably makes sense.
Electric Picnic is dead. Very sad to see what's happened to it, says Jimmy. And Kit Connor is amazing in Heartstopper. And Joe on Twitter says, could you ask your movie people if they've seen the trailer for the new Kevin Costner movie Horizon? It looks amazing and will bring the Western back to a wider audience.
I'm trying to remember if I've seen it because I'm going to get mixed up between this and the other Western that he's in at the moment.
Mean Yellowstone?
Yellowstone.
Yeah, but that's like Dallas. That's just a pure soap.
Yeah. I've got a feeling that I did watch the trailer for it and I was a bit confused as to whether I was watching the trailer for the new season of it or not. But I'm sure it'll be very good.
Yeah, we've been watching Yellowstone a bit at home. And the thing that continuously strikes me, it's such a wasteful way of farming. Like, why do you have to get horses and run around after them and throw ropes over them? You just herd them like a normal farmer would.
And see, I was just watching Clarkson Farm and I was like, these guys have got some really innovative ideas.
Yeah.
That's the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah, well, there you go. Right, so what did we drink first? Mick, tell us about it.
Well, because we've just been talking about farming, we should talk about Pierrepan, which is organic farming.
Okay.
So Pierrepan is from Suave, and it's Suave Classico, so the old region. But this wine I'm delighted to put on because I drink so much of this at home. It is such a food-friendly wine. This is like, you know that thing where you're at home and no one's decided what's being cooked and you're kind of going, oh, we're doing pasta again? Pasta again? Yeah, everybody agrees, pasta again. Pierre Pan. So like any kind of courgette or lemon or anything like that that you're doing in pasta, this is absolutely the wine. So it's a white wine. It's made from Garganega is the grape in this region, which clearly is not a famous grape variety. It is only really used in this region, in Suave. Mm. We in Europe tend to brand things by geography as opposed to by grape variety.
Yeah.
This is named after Suave, which is a town in northeast Italy, just outside of Verona. But in terms of style, this is crisp but textured and like it's an absolutely delicious wine. It was a little bit colder when I left home, but thankfully we're having quite nice weather, so it's warmed up a little bit.
Okay, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's warmed up
like,
a little bit.
You get a different set of aromas, but I think when it's warm like this, you want something refreshing and maybe I'm not giving it its full due at the temperature that it is.
Well, I suppose there's a sweet spot in terms of how not too chilled because you can't only taste as cold then.
Yeah, I mean, like we kind of tend to probably drink red wines too warm and white wines too cold in Ireland.
Mm.
Most things come directly out of the fridge. Red wine, there's the thing that people stick it beside the fire or whatever and effectively turn it into soup, which isn't ideal. But yeah, when you pull a white wine directly out of the fridge, you know, you're tasting the components of it as opposed to the aromas. So you don't really smell or taste anything at that
point. And you know that thing people do where they say, I tell you what, this white wine is a bit warm. I'm going to put it in the freezer. Don't worry, I'll remember. And of course they don't and they find a cracked bottle 3 days later. But even if they do remember, are you damaging the wine if you've cooled it too fast?
I don't know the answer to that scientifically, but I'm kind of a fan of if you want to drink a cold, then get a cold by whatever means you need to.
Okay.
So if that involves freezers, go for it. I mean, like people would do ice buckets and kind of dip a bottle in and out of an ice bucket in order to chill it quite quickly. That's another way to do it. I think probably better to serve it cold than warm. And yeah, I'm not sure if it the flash cooling, I'm not sure if it damages the flavours. I don't think so.
I
think adding ice in probably does. Sorry.
I have heard that, now this might be just total rumour, that with the cheaper wines, they're usually like worse damage because of like the sugar separating or something like that.
Yeah,
because
that
cheaper
work.
Wines usually have more sugar in them rather than the kind of more natural ingredients. But I don't know if that's a total.
So like my take normally on cheap wines is just drink them as cold as you can because then you won't taste anything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of whatever way you get to that place. Definitely if you put ice in, you'll separate some aromas. Anyway, these guys, Pierre Pan, family run since 1890, organic farming and absolutely great with your pasta.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Absolutely lovely stuff. Yeah, my favourite story about cheap wine is being in a supermarket I won't name and overhearing two ladies of a certain age going, Jesus, it's only $3.99. Ah, sure, if it's shite, we'll put a bit of blackcurrant in it. What movie would you like to do first, Dee?
Well, we start with Challengers because then we'll titillate the listeners and then calm them down with the second movie choice.
Indeed, right. Challengers coming up after this.
Tell me it doesn't matter. Tell me it doesn't matter if I win tomorrow.
No. You tell me if it matters. You're the professional competitor, Art. It can't be about avoiding my judgment. Not a nun. I'm not your mommy.
I'm just asking that you love me no matter what.
What am I, Jesus?
Yeah.
You can beat him.
What if I don't? How are you going to look at me if I still can't beat Patrick Zweig?
Just like this.
Oh, stop whining, for God's sake. All right, that's Challengers. I assume it's one of the male leaves whining about he might win lose a tennis match.
And see, I thought she was
me.
A bit whiny in it.
Yeah.
Because she's very kind of, I don't know, bossy over the two other men. And I kind of felt a bit bad for them at times. And she spends a lot of the movie frowning. Like, I don't think Zendaya is by any means a bad actress, but she's getting a lot of praise for this film. And I'm like, she spends a lot of this movie frowning. And that was kind of the case with Dune 2 as well. Like, can we give her other
roles?
Well,
that's sand, I suppose.
This you can excuse that. Woman. Yeah. That's in fairness.
Right, so she, why is she frowning so much during this movie then? What's making her sad?
Yeah, so in fairness, like the whole idea of her character, Tashi Duncan, and she does kind of have this interesting backstory, I suppose. When we initially meet her, she is now married to Art Donaldson, and she is also, as well as his wife, she's also his coach. And she was this like tennis prodigy. And as we learn through flashbacks in the film, because it kind of bounces between the past and the present, this movie, like a tennis ball across the court, if you will. But she did have this very promising career as a tennis prodigy. So she's kind of trying to build up her husband now. And I suppose as we get into like kind of this new competition that both Art and his ex-best friend, Patrick, who is mentioned there, kind of get into it. Patrick is almost kind of taunting Tashi a bit and saying like, why isn't it my career you're supporting? And it could have been my career you're supporting and stuff like that. So I think that what's probably more interesting about this movie is like the dynamics between those three characters. And I mean, the acting in it is very good. Mike Feiss, Zendaya. And I have to say, Josh O'Connor, who people will probably remember, he played Prince Charles in kind of the middle seasons of The Crown. He's very, very good in this and playing a completely different type of character who's much more of a jerk in this. Those three are really great. And watching the kind of dynamics between the three of them kind of change and the tensions between them, I found that a lot more interesting than kind of the sexier, quote unquote, aspects of the movie. Because it's interesting, if you've seen the trailer or if you look at kind of the main still that's used to promote the film, it is of the three of them kind of in their youth, like sitting down on this bed together. And it was kind of what was talked about a lot when the trailer came out was, you know, is there going to be a threesome between these three characters? Because that's kind of hinted at in the trailer. But the movie is actually kind of 15A rated and it's not particularly explicit. And you can see as you're watching this that this is probably a movie that's made for teens a bit more so kind of a more mature audience. And I mean, the fact that you have Zendaya cast there, I think is very indicative of that, because her a huge like population of her fandom is that kind of young adult audience. So in a way, it kind of makes sense. But I suppose because it is Luca Guadagnino, and hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, I might turn to Serena for that one. But he would have directed, you know, Call Me By Your Name, which is very kind of sensual.
Yeah.
Bones and All as well, and Suspiria, which were probably more kind of R-rated movies. I suppose maybe I was expecting something more along the lines of that. But I got a bit of a kick out of this movie, but it's also quite silly at times. And I don't know necessarily how much tennis we're actually seeing.
Okay, so it's not really a tennis movie.
No,
the
not
tennis
quite.
Is more a metaphor for the tension and blah blah.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I mean, they kind of talk about in the movie about, you know, playing the game versus playing it live versus playing people against one another. So I mean, they kind of hit
Plug
the metaphors a
yeah.
bit over the head. Yeah, yeah, kind
yeah.
of unnecessarily so. But I suppose you can kind of roll your eyes about it and just kind of go along with it for the fun of it.
Is this in cinemas?
It's in cinemas, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And it's 15s?
15A.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you're kind of giving it 3 stars?
3 stars, yeah. I think that's a fair. And I mean, like, when it comes to like the tennis element of it, like, in fairness, the director does a good job at kind of, you know, he does some experimental shots. Like at one point, the camera is almost like within the tennis ball and it's like bouncing all over the place, which I thought was kind of cool. So there's some like interesting stuff going on in it, but I've seen more interesting stuff from the director personally. But I think the young ones will like it.
OK, right. No, film for the young ones. We didn't understand it. That Suave. Wait, could you say that name again?
So it's Pieropan, Pieropan.
Pieropan, there you go. Someone has texted in. They think they know the answer as to why Bluey is slang for redhead. So
why is that?
Brace yourself, Serena. We're going to tell you something about your country. Blue is Aussie slang for flight.
Huh?
Redheads are known to be fiery, hence the term blue.
Okay, I need to go home, obviously, and
reconnect with your culture. Or maybe it's just randomers out there just making up stuff. About it. Is it my imagination, or did some off licenses used to have some sort of machine that would cool wine in a couple of minutes?
Yeah.
It's called a fridge?
The fridge takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
There was this thing with, like, I don't know, some sort of like gel in it that you press the button and 5 minutes later you had a cold bottle of wine.
Okay.
They were disgusting. You had to really wipe the bottle off afterwards.
Oh! It felt really like the bottle had just been born.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Except without any of the not joy
appealing.
Aspect.
Yeah,
that.
Not appealing. No. My 20-year-old is trying to sell her EP ticket because apart from Kylie, the lineup is rubbish. Kylie was the best concert I was ever at. She's unreal, says Paula.
She is. Now, I know I'm very biased, but as far as entertainers go, she's an amazing entertainer. And she's one of those artists as well, whether you like her or you don't, you know all of her music.
Yeah, you can't. So, well, I mean, it's in the ether, yeah, so
like,
to speak.
It's like Bon Jovi. Like, they have a documentary out today on Disney Plus, and I was like, I'm not really a big fan. And then I started playing the music going, I know that one, I know that one, and I know that one.
Mm.
So that's Kylie, except she wears lovely fancy clothes on stage.
Yeah,
Kylie has a sommelier who comes on tour with her. Like a wine person to come on tour with her.
Do you rate her wines? Because I really rate her rosé.
I mean, I think they're good.
What about her rosé?
Good.
Should have seen his face.
Strictly like, 3-star there. So the sommelier is not serving Kylie her own wine. He's probably.
I think it's a just make sure she has great wine wherever she goes kind of
wow.
thing. They she advertised the role a while ago. And
did you apply?
I was really tempted. I was busy like up to the deadline date, but I was thinking I probably should do this.
Was it paying well?
No, not really. But hey, there's perks.
But how much wine would she drink? She's tiny. The bottle would be bigger than her.
She's a vigneron. She must drink loads.
A wine? She's a what?
A vigneron, a winemaker. She's not really.
Yeah.
I mean, now
come on. Like Kylie comes out at EP, bloodshot face, all the veins. Australians are shouting, "Hello, Bluey." The 20-year-old is selling the ticket to Kylie, so maybe it's like. She mightn't appeal to the youngers now. Like, obviously, people of a certain age, the entire gay community in Ireland will go along to see her. Leo Varadkar will be there right at the front. His shirt off, waving around his head, having a great time. I wonder, but the kids mightn't be down with her.
I don't know. I think her latest album she's appealed to a new generation. Like, I know my kids weren't massive fans. And then Padam came out and Tension, and we're actually going to go see her in Hyde Park, and the kids are coming and they're excited.
Okay. Is Bluey not called that because the breed of dog is a blue heeler, an Australian cattle dog? No, that is true, but it's spiraled off into this other conversation. Yeah. An Aussie told me they're called Redzers, Bluey, because they were tea. I didn't get it either.
This is building up into a big
weird language over there. I'm glad you learned to speak in speaky what we speak.
I'm not sure I do.
Yeah. Kylie and SJP wins are lovely. Wines, I assume. Yes. The importance of leaving an E in there. Right. So the Thursday Murder Club, this is like... he's written a load of these books and like they're huge.
So Richard Osman, I'd know him as, and a lot of people know him as that tall guy from Pointless.
Yeah.
Have you read his book?
I've read The Thursday Murder Club.
Is it good?
Randomly. It's kind of, I wouldn't say good. It's very witty. The dialogue's very good. And they are investigating a murder, but it's kind of cozy and comforting almost. It's four pensioners who kind of, one of whom happens to be the former head of MI5 or something like that. And, it's kind of nice. It leaves you with a kind of a good feeling.
So, have Disney Plus done this already with Only Murders in the Building? Like, is it the same sort of thing? Have you seen that?
Tonally probably not the same as this, because this is like Last of the Summer Wine investigates murders.
Okay.
It's that kind of feeling.
All right. Well, look, I'm not too excited, but people are very excited about this. Apparently, Richard came out and said that a lot of people shouted him that, Elizabeth should be played by Helen Mirren. And he's confirmed that Helen Mirren is going to be playing Elizabeth. Three of the four have been cast. So Ibrahim is going to be Ben Kingsley. They haven't cast Joyce yet, but if you are a fan and you know who he's talking about, apparently there's a name that they always scream out at him. That's who they're hoping to get for Joyce. But a little bit closer to home, playing Ron is our very own Pierce Brosnan.
Wow. Right. I'm much more excited about that than Helen Mirren. Sorry, I'm just elderly woman cast Helen Mirren. Like, it's becoming a bit too...
Yeah.
Or Judy Dench.
I think the character of Ron, and people will text in to correct me, is a kind of, he's a retired trades unionist.
So he said, he did say that he's going to have to dull himself down a bit to play this role.
Yeah, and he's got a kind of a thick Northern England accent. So is how I imagined him in my head anyway, as like, you know, and a handlebar moustache and like old style trades unionist.
I'd say he could probably do everything but the accent. So I'm
oh, no,
probably...
well, I mean, we know he can't do an Irish accent. He's probably a better shot at doing an English one. I would have thought. So is this going into production?
It or is. So it, shooting actually begins in June. And this is what I'm most excited by. The director is actually Chris Columbus. So Home Alone and Harry Potter. So
crikey. I think
this,
yeah.
this might be something that we might all go and enjoy.
I think that should work because I would you believe I'm actually currently reading Thursday Murder Club, but it's kind it's very light and fluffy, and I think that's kind of Chris Columbus's approach with this movie. So I think that the two styles could marry really well.
Yeah, except I thought, you know, a more than two thirds, maybe slightly less. I know what happens at the end of this.
Don't give away.
I know I'm not going to give it away, but you know, that's like I hate when that happens. If you want to chill wine quickly, wrap the bottle in damp kitchen roll. And into the freezer for 5 minutes, says Martin in Limerick.
Fact.
Yeah. There you go.
Or a wet tea towel.
Good man, Martin. Don't be using your good t-shirts for that. Right, you are listening to The Moncrief Show on News Talk. We have to take a break. Back in a couple of minutes. You are listening to The Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087 1400 106 is our WhatsApp number. Deirdre, Mick and Serena are still with us. The actual reason Aussies are called redheads bluey is because, like polar bears, all Australians see red as blue. That makes a lot of sense. Did you know that?
Okay.
That microphone in front of you, what colour is it?
Blue.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Definitive proof, if you needed it. A couple of comments actually on the Thursday Murder Club. I loved all his books. The first and last were the best. Joyce was a class character, says Maureen. And Chris says... his books are fantastic, but Ron, this is the is a cross between Arthur Scargill and Michael Caine. Brosnan is a complete miscasting. Kind of, yeah, that's kind of the way I imagined him. So it would be a bit of a stretch.
Is this a bit of a Mamma Mia casting of Pierce Brosnan? You know how he stuck out like a sore thumb, but then you end up loving him for being so bad at
the role? Yeah. Oh, gosh.
As long as he's not singing.
Might be a backlash. Might be a backlash. Well, we might as well move on to our second movie of the day, the action-packed road movie that they may face the rising sun. Here's a clip.
You're still in Ford's?
Still there. They'll be in the canteen now. Over it in the floors and keeping the toilets clean. Sure. You'd highly call it work.
Jesus. I think so many around here were forced out to England and America. You left a cracking job here netting fish to go cleaning English jacks. You made the mistake of your life when you left.
Patrick Shaw's none of us mercy.
I tell the truth and ask no favours.
That's that they may face the rising sun. There's a kind of a... like McGahan's novels are all kind of about the tone more than anything else. But there's also that thing that's in the song just from that clip that people go away and they come back and the people who didn't go away kind of resent them a bit.
Yeah.
Like you've missed, you know, you don't know what this place is like anymore.
Yeah. And that's kind of probably the main like plot line, I suppose, in this film is that there was one of the members of the community kind of went over to London. He's come back now. And while a lot of the kind of locals in Leitrim have kind of welcomed him back with open arms, one of the characters that you heard there, Patrick, who's played by Lola Roddy, he kind of has like thorn in his side about it. I was about to say thorn in his shoulder, but I think that I'm getting stuck with Chip.
You're screaming on metaphors, yes.
And that's kind of the main thing that happens plot wise. It's interesting what you were saying there about McGahern's tone, because I think that Pat Collins's tone, and he's the director of this movie, is really important here as well, because I've heard the term meditative kind of associated with his movies, and I would probably describe this film as meditative. So even to like give you an idea of kind of what we're looking at in terms of momentum, which isn't a huge amount, in the first few minutes of the film we follow Joe and Kate as they're visited by a number of the locals, and they're just kind of sitting around all having a chat with one another. And elsewhere in the film, we see Joe and Kate just kind of, you know, sitting together, holding hands or lying together or kind of embracing one another. And it's just like this really sweet movie about love and community. And there are all these little scenes in which we see kind of the community members come together and kind of work really hard for the greater good or on a project, even if it's like, you know, just herding the sheep from one area to another. They're just like really kind of there for one another. I think that the way that County Leitrim is filmed, although I can't remember now if it's actually Leitrim or not, but but the setting of the film anyway, it looks so beautiful. Rained a lot less than I thought was probably realistic for an Irish set movie, but in any case, and it's just kind of a place and a movie that you end up finding yourself just kind of getting lost in, because it's just so kind of warm or something, and you just kind of wish that you were there with them. But at the same time, you know, the film is kind of punctuated at the end by and this isn't giving too much away, but there is kind of a death in the community. Obviously, this is a place that's kind of mostly populated by older people, so it's kind of inevitable. So there is this kind of tone of, I suppose, grief and poignancy at the end, that there are things that are kind of, you know, coming to an end, as much as there is a lot of kind of humor and love in the community as well. And I just love kind of the little conversation, and there's some like great dialogue in the film, like lines like, you can't light a fire with regret, or there are no reruns, life is not a play, that are just so kind of beautiful and lyrical. So I did find it to be quite a powerful movie, and probably one of my, you know, favourite of the year so far, I would say, this film. And there was also a film by Wim Wenders out earlier this year, Perfect Days. Those are probably my two favourite movies of the year so far. That's another one to check out. Also kind of slow moving. I don't know if I'm kind of at a stage of life where I'm just looking for films that are kind of just really chill and that are really just pleasant. But
Fast and Furious 12 is coming.
So you'll be all right there. Like, there's often a lot in his work, there's a lot of what people aren't saying as much as what they're saying. And you're kind of reading in those gaps. What's the Wim Wenders film about?
So Perfect Days. So basically, it's about a Japanese man who cleans toilets for a living, but it ends up being just absolutely gorgeous. And it's named Perfect Days after the Lou Reed song, because he keeps all these cassette tapes from kind of the 70s to 80s era. So it ends up having this absolutely fantastic soundtrack as well. And we kind of get a little bit of insight into his past and how he kind of ended up the way he is. But he's a guy who just kind of has this everyday existence that he absolutely just adores his kind of day-to-day living. And it's just a really uplifting film.
Yeah.
I feel like I've probably sold that one more than this one, but I love them both.
Yeah. Okay, all right. No, they both sound very interesting. Continuing on with her, somebody, for God's sake, please have an original idea, Bridget Jones 4.
Okay.
Lots of news about that.
Yeah, I wasn't excited about this, but then I saw Hugh Grant, who doesn't get excited about anything, get excited about this. He said that this is probably going to be...
Isn't he contractually obliged to get excited about this?
You know, Hugh, he never does, right? Yeah. But he said that this is probably the best script he's read out of the four, not in his entire career, but out of all the Bridget Jones's films. He also said it's very emotional. It hasn't been confirmed, but he sort of let it slip that Colin Firth probably won't be coming back. But we don't know. We might see him in flashbacks, because in the book that Helen Fielding wrote, at this stage of Bridget's life, unfortunately, Colin Firth's character had died. So Bridget's there left bringing the child on her own. But very excited. Let's move swiftly along from Colin Firth, because if you're a fan of One Day, that Netflix series that we all fell in love with earlier this year, Leo Woodall, who a lot of us saw in White Lotus well, he apparently is going to has signed on to be a cast member, and he's playing the love interest, the toy boy of Bridget Jones.
Oh, so this is cougar territory you're into now.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm very, do you know what? I'm looking forward to this. I didn't like Bridget Jones 2. I really enjoyed Bridget Jones 3. I thought it was funny. I thought what they did with the, like, they just freshened it up and brought it into now. And I think with this one, it might actually be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. And there is a book this is based on, is there?
Yeah, now, I stopped reading after the first diary, but apparently there's more books that she's written. I just wait for the movies to come out.
Okay. I wonder how she finds the time to write a diary. You know, because I like the idea in theory, but like, when are you going to do it?
Maybe she does what we all do now and just sends a podcast to herself, like just talks into her voice notes.
Yeah. Especially when like nothing happens of it.
you know, but most days things don't happen.
But in Bridget the Jones, Toy Boy is something to write about.
Yeah.
I suppose so. Yeah, that's true. In fairness. Right, let's move on to our second wine of the day. I've already had a sip and it's lovely.
It is very lovely. Yeah. So this is from the Allegrini family. And Allegrini family are based in Valpolicella, so just outside of Verona in the northeast of Italy. They're one of the kind of very famous families of Italian wine production. And there are a few in this particular area that really stand out. And Allegrini are at the top table there. This region is interesting in that it is known, certainly in Ireland, for producing Amarone, is the big wine. And then Ripasso comes from this region as well. So Valpolicella Ripasso is probably the most famous, or certainly the most widely sold in Ireland. And Amarone is a real Christmas wine. It's a, you know, it's a Sunday roast. It's a big, full wine. So the way that those wines are made, there's an element of drying the grapes to concentrate all the flavours in. So you get these really big concentrated styles of wine. Valpolicella, like this one, so the kind of the simple wine, there are oceans of Valpolicella made. It's really one of the workhorses of Italian wine production. It is also one of those where there's kind of two tiers. You have some real rubbish and then you have some really great wines. Yeah. And they're kind of, the real rubbish quite often is like, it's just stuff that's sold off in bulk and it's, you know, buy the glass in Italy for €2, whatever, nobody thinks about it.
Mm.
But something like this is really serious stuff. So like, it has that kind of peppery spiciness to it. Like Valpolicella in general is quite a light red, but this has many, many more layers.
Yeah, it's not, because sometimes Valpolicella can be a bit wathery.
Well, it's a little bit like your story of the two ladies in the supermarket. It's a little bit like the Maiwadi, but it's been watered down a little bit too much. The bad Valpolicella.
Yeah.
This isn't. This is like just drinking the whole Maiwadi bottle. No water added.
Oh, no. And this is kind of in the middle in terms of like its impact. So that's kind of why I liked it, really.
It's delicious. And this is relatively widely available. You'll get this in good independent shops.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, I love this. And I think, with the weather we're having at the moment, if people are firing up barbecues and stuff like that,
they're out of their minds.
Barbecue in winter. You got to make these things have a return on your financial investment.
Oh my gosh! And how much will that set
this
you
back? Be 20 quid.
That's 20 quid. Yeah. How much was the other one, by the way?
23.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Both very lovely. Someone sexed in it to say, Serena, I did not know Colin Firth's character dies. Does that constitute a spoiler?
No,
the book's been out a while. I'd heard of that as well.
And I haven't given away. We're talking about the movies. I'm not book reviewing here. So
I mean, the movie might not necessarily stick to the books either, because it might actually write in an opportunity for Colin Firth's character to come back, which is what they did with Bridget Jones' Baby with Hugh Grant's character. He was dead at the
start.
And he was back by the end of the movie.
There we go. So no spoiler. Sorry, though, if you haven't.
But it might be like they just visit Colin Firth's grave kind of thing.
And then he died in between.
Gosh, that'll be a new direction for them. There's going to be there's a date announced for season 4 of The Young Offenders.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's coming back, and it's coming back to BBC One on the 10th of May, which is 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
At 9:30. I really love this series. I think it's a lot of fun, and I love that it's Irish and that the BBC love it as much as we do over here.
Yeah, well, good for them. Yeah. And now, explain this thing where, is it like nature is going to start getting credits for songs?
Yeah, so Monday was Earth Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So the UN had an initiative where they Spotify, Apple Music and a whole heap of other music streaming services came together and said, we will now credit nature if you use any nature sounds, natural sounds in your music and credit the artist as nature. Any royalties we get will go to a fund that the UN have set up. They reckon that the fund may make up to $40 million in revenue from about 600 million streams. They're not sure how it'll be spent yet, but it'll be spent in, they reckon it might be spent in Madagascar and the Indian Oceans, and there's some forests as well that need some replanting all over the world. So I think it's a great, and I thought like, this is a bit silly, but no, I think it's a great initiative. If you go to Nature Sounds on your playlists, there's a whole heap of that. Like David Bowie has been remixed by Brian Eno. There's like Wild Boars in there, and it sounds mad, but it actually works.
Okay. And so the money, they credit nature then and as kind of a songwriter on a particular thing. And
then the money goes to some
to this fund,
shadowy UN body who
to Mother
may
Nature,
or may not
directly,
yes, directly to Mother Nature's account. Right, that's our lot for today. Serena and Mick and Deirdre, thank you all very much.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief
with Marks and Spencer
on News Talk.